Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to the Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church. And we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here as always with man, the captain, Jack Barry. Jack, my friend, it's good to see you. It's been a wild time.
It has been a week. Josh knows it's been a week for me.
Been a week.
Short story. Position got eliminated at work last Thursday. It does suck, but I'll share more on the Podluck. If this entices you to go over to the Podluck, please go over to the Podluck and sign
That's
up.
Right.
That's
we
right. We will talk extensively about the deets on my position elimination, which is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
But
anyway. It is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. But yeah, so goes the way of life sometimes.
Hevel, Josh. Sucks. If there's hevel, one thing, man. Ecclesiastes.
All is vanity.
Church. Yeah, hevel. Everything's hevel. Your job is hevel, people. Everything is hevel. So.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sporting a new studio.
Dude,
I got all.
You looking spiffy over here, guy.
I mean, I've got lots of good stuff back there. Yeah.
You
had to get my man Spurge.
You got old Chuck back there.
Yep. Little firepower in case anybody decides to, you know, rob my my place of residence while I'm recording. You know, that would be a Patreon right there.
Oh,
you
see
Josh smoke someone live on podcast. Head on over to Patreon.
Oh my God.
I pity the fool.
Wow.
That tries to interrupt.
Unbelievable.
My recording. Yeah. No. Jack, we are at the end of Reformation Month, which means that the Reformation Month merch, the t-shirts, they are almost going back up to regular price. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you need to celebrate your church's Reformation party in style with some Reformation wear swag, click the link in the description of this episode and get yourself some awesome Reformation Month merch, because come November, going back up to regular price. So that's all I got to say about that. Jack, my man, we've got a lot of cool stuff to talk about today. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. But as always, we gotta start out our time with everyone's favorite segment. Don't forget to eat your Instant Grams.
And now's the time you've all been waiting for. The Reformatory Podcast presents Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams with your hosts, Josh Loftus and Jack Barry. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough.
This is Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough. That's how it works, Jack. Especially during Reformation Month, man. We got some doozies for you all today. Looking forward to this segment. As always, it's the last week of Reformation Month styled Instagrams. So they've been good.
I will say this, to start out our Instagram times, the papists are now claiming Halloween as their own. I'm just saying, Josh.
Are they?
I have been getting so many reels lately saying that Halloween is a Catholic holiday, and I'm like, oh boy. Papers going wild over here, y'all.
All Hallows Eve. They're trying to appropriate
it. Bring it back.
They're trying to redeem it, as the young restless reform crowd would say. Yeah. We're trying to redeem it. But Jack, the Catholic cringe is strong.
Oh boy.
And this episode is no exception. I'm gonna give you some Catholic understanding of the Lord's Supper here. Here we go.
One out of every 10 masses, I have to stop the communion line. And I have to be like a chameleon. I have to have one eye in front of me, one eye watching to make sure the people that I just gave Holy Communion to, if they're receiving in the hand, that they receive Holy Communion. And then, you know, I have to stop the line because somebody didn't. I can see their hand did not go up to their mouth, and I have to go chasing after them. And so many times they don't know what they're doing. They look at me like I'm what? What? I'm like, you have to consume the host. And, you know, it's like, I don't know you. I mean, you may be 70 years old, look like a sweet grandma, but I don't know if you're a Satanist. I have no idea what your intentions are. Because oftentimes throughout history, when people wanted to desecrate a host, they obtain it by receiving it in the hand many times, and they want to profane it. They want to do some occult ritual with it as an offense against God.
What?
I'm so
obviously prepared for these people.
This is like next level fencing the table right here, right? This is next level. I'm really glad I don't have to worry about someone taking our gluten-free communion bread home and going like all the conjuring on it.
Oh my God.
Right? Like, finally, I finally found what I needed.
Dude.
To complete the ritual.
It's a cracker, people.
The like Costco gluten-free bread.
Cheese and crackers, dude. These guys. Okay, that's next level ridiculous right there.
Next level.
He got the host. It's bread, people. It's bread, okay?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. And usually not very good bread.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Most people, like the reason that happens with most people is they get in their mouth and they're like, oh, that's awful. I'm getting spit this out.
Dude,
it's so bad.
The most wild statement. I don't know if you're a Satanist. You're in a church, bro. Like, what are
you never
doing?
Hey, you never know. Man. You never know. All right. They're all over the place.
Oh, my all over gosh.
Place. All right. I got one more. Jack, my friend, it seems as if the prosperity gospel has infiltrated the Catholic Church.
Oh my gosh.
Friend. Wait till you hear. Gosh. Wait till you get a load of this.
The priest had told me you can ask St. Anthony to find you a parking place. So I tried it just before we went to Rome and it worked. I got a parking place like right in front of the place I was going. And I was telling this story to the group that we're walking around with. And this buddy of mine says, I believe in the saints, but I mean, that's ridiculous. They have better things to do than to get me a parking place. He was just dismissive of the idea. So then for the rest.
That's a good buddy. Let's
knows what he's talking about.
Keep that buddy around. Yep. Keep him around. Let's continue.
For the rest of the day, he was kind of making fun of it. The next morning, he came down to breakfast, and I had known him for a long time, and we had talked many times about the fact that, like, he wouldn't remember his dreams, and he was always kind of jealous of people who'd remember their dreams. So he came down to breakfast, and he said, you will not believe what happened to me. I had a dream last night, and in my dream, St. Anthony came up to me. It wasn't like a dream. It was like...
And we lost him. There he goes. And he's gone.
A dream. It was like he was really there. And he said to me, the saints are your friends in heaven, and we love to do good things for you.
Wow.
So if you ask me, I will even get you a parking place. This was like a real change in my friend's life. Another friend of mine once said to me, you know, I ask God for the big things, but I'm not going to bother him with the small things. And I think that's actually exactly the wrong approach, because you develop a friendship by asking each other for small favors. That's a sign of friendship.
Actually, I'm honored by it because I want to bless them.
So I think our relationship with God and with the saints is very much the same. He wants us to ask him for small things. Now, big things too, of course, but small things. Rely on God more and more, and he will show you that he is hearing you and present and helping you. Can I throw out one of my other favorite things that Aquinas says about prayer, which people don't think about enough?
No. I'm glad it cuts off.
Yeah.
Aquinas
probably dropped a knowledge bomb on him and completely invalidates his whole...
Whoever my saint is in heaven hates me because I don't get... I don't get good parking spots. I have to work for those. Like in good, like it's I will circle a parking lot like a vulture until I find that parking spot. Like, my wife makes fun of me for it, but
you know who you can tell who your saint is, apparently.
Is there a test?
Yeah, this is actually.
Are you serious?
Oh, I know it. I know what it is. So your birthday.
We're doing this on the pod.
Take your birthday.
Okay.
Your birthday. My birthday is March 11th. Okay. You add 7 days to it. So it's March 18th. Whatever you can name, there should be several different saint feasts that day. That could be one of your saints.
So how many?
Seven.
How
days.
Many do you add? You add seven.
Add 7 days to your birthday.
Okay. What if that's not a date? Like, there's no 34 of November. Like, am I screwed? Do I not have a saint? That's why I'm not getting any parking spots.
What's your birthday, Josh?
It's 27. It's the 27th of November. Plus 7 is 34. But that's not a day of the calendar.
You got to go into December, my guy.
So it's not the number.
Calendar days.
Oh, the calendar days. Oh, okay. So it'd be the 4th. It'd be the 4th. So then I look up what saint died on December 4th.
What saintly feast is on December 4th, or what saints are honored on December 4th? And you can start looking at them and saying,
okay,
if it's Athanasius, I'm going to go buck wild, dude. I'm going to go buck wild.
All right, here we go. December 4th, it's calendar of saints.
Augustine.
I got Saint Barbara and Saint John Damascene.
Oh,
no clue. No clue, dude. No clue. Well, apparently they ain't working overtime to get me parking spots. So I'm going to need Saint Barbara to step her game up.
I heard Saint Barbara
or his game
was the patron saint of the field artillerymen in the army. So I don't know if there's any credence to that.
Well, if I get burgled in the middle of a podcast shoot, I will pray to Saint Barbara.
Brother out with
100%.
With certain pistol discharges on your weaponry.
But, all right, Jack. All right. Enough of this papist foolery.
This popery.
We're talking about the Reformation, my friend. It is the last episode in our Reformation series. It's always sad to see this series come to an end. It's always one of our favorites. Reformation month for us is always a highlight, and we really enjoy we just enjoy this month. We enjoy the focus that it brings, specifically on the gospel, the essential truths of Christ and what he's done. And we've been focusing on the Reformation's effect on different things. And we've talked about the Reformation's effect on the culture, on the church, on the scriptures, on the individual. And we're wrapping it up today with the Reformation's effect on the future. In what we mean by that is moving forward, right, from where we are now to continuing the work of the Reformation, what is some of the ways that we see those truths and the things that the movement brought with it as important to continue to focus on and continue to foster within specifically our local churches that we reside in, right? I'd like to prime the pump, if I can, with a short video from, I'm just going to call it, like, at this point, I should just call him, like, Papa Reformation. It's Papa Sproul. But
Papa Reformation.
Father, he's like Father Christmas. He's like Father Reformation, right?
Father Christmas. Father Reformation. Christmas,
right? Exactly. I'd like Papa Sproul to drop some wisdom on us, and then we can kind of use this as a launching point here.
Yeah.
The Roman Catholic Church has changed since the 16th century. No question about it. And the differences that we had in the 16th century have changed. They're far greater now than they were in the 16th century. All the Mariological decrees have come since the Reformation. The De Fide proclamation of the infallibility of the Pope came since the Protestant Reformation. Things are not getting better, they're worse. And in the recent Roman Catholic Catechism of the decade of the 90s, all of the essential issues of the 16th century debate were reaffirmed in that catechism, including the treasury of merit, purgatory, indulgences, justification through the sacraments. So when people say the Reformation's over. They just don't know what they're talking about. It's that simple. They don't know Roman Catholic theology.
Man, I miss that man.
So simple.
I miss that man. Well, see, and look, the reason that we bring that up is because often what you will hear when the, you know, Protestant and the Catholics are kind of going back and forth and the Reformation is brought up is you know, what you'll hear often is, well, look, I mean, the Catholic Church isn't the same as it was, right? Like the Catholic Church isn't doing all of the atrocities that it was doing back in the 16th century, right? You'll hear that a lot, right? And that the Catholic Church has, you know, it's
evolved.
It's evolved, exactly. It's changed, right?
We've grown.
We've
branded.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they've Acts 29'd themselves again and again and again. Now, and what is true is that the differences between Protestant, I'll just say Christian, biblical theology, and Roman Catholic theology, the differences there haven't been unified or rectified. They've grown, just as R.C. Sproul says, right? Some of the largest differences that we have with Roman Catholic theology have come since the Reformation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But all of the issues that the Reformation exposed are still part of Roman Catholic dogma. They're still part of the doctrine. I don't think people understand that. It's just because, right, it might look different, it might play itself out different, the doctrine is still there. The differences are still there, right? We just had an Instagram talking about praying to a saint to get you a parking spot. That's real.
Yeah.
And this is why the Reformation was needed then, is needed now, and will continue to be needed in the future, is because there is always, I'll say this and I'll throw it over to you, Jack,
yeah,
there is always going to be a need for each generation to confirm and commit anew to the essential truths of Scripture, mm-hmm, the true gospel, the true Christ, and not fall to the ways of supplanting the authority of Scripture, the authority of Jesus, with any other doctrine other than what Scripture says is true. There's always going to be a need for every generation to renew that commitment and to keep fighting that fight.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing of it too is, like, say, look at any kind of heresy that has been talked about for the last 2,000 years, and it still is being brought up. Guys, mm-hmm, this has not changed. You know what happened to me a couple months ago? I'm working out in my front yard, and these Jehovah's Witnesses come up to me, and I start to talk with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. I said, listen, I'm a Trinitarian through and through.
Right.
What do you guys believe? They went straight back to Arianism.
Yeah.
They went straight back to Arianism, you guys. Yeah. They, mm-hmm, will say the Son is not the same as the Father. They won't use the language that was debated in Nicaea, but they will continually say that over and over again. Right. And they will say, and they will double down on the Son. Okay, well, the Son is not born of God. And it's like, hold up, bro. We already, that ship has sailed.
Right.
That ship was completed back in 325 AD.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had a whole council about this. You're not giving me anything novel.
1700th year of the Council of Nicaea was this, the anniversary. 1700 years.
That's right.
Being, not us being Trinitarian, but basically cementing
that
Trinitarian theology is orthodoxy,
mm-hmm,
and that anything else is ridiculous, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge problem. Like, I'm not getting on your ship if you're peddling, if that's the way that you're going to discern the Scriptures.
Right.
Nope, not doing it, because you guys are going back to, like, what, the 1800s, from a cult leader who you know, revise the Bible in the New World Translation, which is the most, one of the most garbage takes of the Bible ever. But still, like, you guys don't know how to Bible write. You guys didn't go back to the original. You guys didn't go back to the original fountains or the texts of Greek and Hebrew and find anything there. You just made this crap up and repackaged it and slapped it on. And I'll go Ian Malcolm. You repackaged it and you did it and you slapped it on a plastic lunchbox. And now you're selling it. You want to sell it.
That's all
people are doing. That's all the Catholic Church is doing. They're just going in the lab and putting some new dyes in the existing, how can I say this? They're putting new food dyes in the blend, in the mix to jazz it up a little bit.
Just repackaging old heresies.
To make kids get the dopamine hits they want.
Yeah.
And then they're selling it to people. Guys, indulgences haven't gone away. Mm-hmm. They're just repackaged differently. That's it.
Yeah, they just look like anime characters now.
Yeah, that's it. Seriously, we did that. We covered that already.
Yeah.
You know, they've neutered heresy. That's the thing. They haven't made heresy and they haven't made these doctrines really sexy anymore like they used to be and really kind of like pungent.
Yeah.
They just kind of threw some cologne on it and called it good, you know? They put lipstick on a pig and brought it out there and called it good, man. So
I need a hat that's just make heresy sexy again. Straight from Jack. That'll be our next reformation. That'll be a shirt. But it's very true, right? It's not, nothing's changed. It just looks a little different, right?
Yeah.
So the mission hasn't changed. And how we interact with those things shouldn't change either, right? So it comes down to, like, one of the main things that I think about when considering our cultural moment, because there's need for reformation everywhere, not just against Roman Catholic doctrine, but we have movements and focuses and things rising up within our own camps right now that I believe are detrimentally distracting Christians away from what they are supposed to be doing, away from what they're supposed to be focusing on, and placing their efforts and their hopes and their focus on something that's not going to yield them anything. That's not actually going to advance the kingdom of Christ. It's going to advance a kingdom of their own making.
Yeah.
Right? And whether we're talking about things like the prosperity gospel, Christian nationalism, I would throw fundamentalism, like extreme fundamentalism in there, a confusing law-gospel distinction, right? The Protestant church, specifically in America, has a lot of issues that we need to start rooting out and applying a reformation to.
Oh yeah.
Right? It's easy to talk about it in regards to, you know, obviously the Roman Catholic Church, because that's where the focus of the Reformation was and all that. And look, I'm not saying we abandon that. That obviously still needs to be there. But there's a lot going on right now that is pulling the hearts and the affections of God's people away from a focus on the gospel, away from, I would say, a correct understanding of how the kingdom is advanced and placed on foundations that have no roots and focuses that have no hope.
Yep.
And we have men and women championing these things and saying that this is what faithful Christianity looks like, right? If you want to be seen as faithful, if you want to be seen as pleasing God, if you want to stand against the culture for the gospel, this is what it looks like. And it's not in the pages of Scripture.
Yeah.
It's your understanding of Christian, you know, of what Christian virtue looks like. And just as works play no part in salvation in, you know, the time of the Reformation, right? we look at today, like what is affecting the gospel? What is it that is people are conflating with the gospel? Right? What are people adding to the gospel that's diluting its power and causing them to trust in or have hope and assurance in something that is not actually the gospel, but it's a light gospel that's tainted with something else? Mm-hmm. That's where the Reformation needs to happen now.
Yeah.
That's where the work of breaking down and rebuilding has to occur. Right? In the 16th century, it was the Catholic Church and people being sold a bill of goods that was wrong.
Yeah.
We have that today. And we need faithful preaching, faithful churches
yeah.
that are not afraid to come against the culture, even when the culture claims to be Christian, and say, no, that's not the gospel. That's not what it means to be a Christian. You're conflating yeah. those two things. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Right? And it's a problem.
Yeah.
And it needs a reformation. Like our church needs one today.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing the church needs a reformation for in the future is the conflation that we've had so much with justification and sanctification.
Mm.
Too many people have staked their life on their sanctification leading into their justification.
Yeah.
Not the justification of Christ leading into their sanctification.
Yep.
And that's mainly what Luther was talking about in the Reformation too. The most message Bible way of summarizing Luther's theology in the Reformation is that if you are a Christian, if you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are accepted.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is it. Yeah,
that's been a reoccurring theme through this entire series.
You are accepted. And that this holy alien righteousness of Christ comes to you and it redeems you. Mm-hmm. It is not the other way around. Your sanctification does not lead to that.
Yeah.
It is by faith, sola fide,
mm-hmm.
that you have been justified.
Yep.
And it is by sola gratia, by faith alone, that you have been justified as well, too. Mm-hmm. So if we could only reform that, mm-hmm. start with that first in the church, in North America first, then people would start to understand the implications of that more and more.
Yeah.
I feel like. And they yep. wouldn't start going, and we wouldn't have the situations that we have around Halloween where we have debates about demons, possessing people if you just go outside on right. October 31st
yeah.
or something like that. Or even if I go outside my house and hand out candy and coffee and cider to passersby, how dare I, right? You're possessed, Jack. You have a demon in you. You need to be exorcised, right? So... Yeah. It's just that yeah. kind of ridiculousness that would just even just change the temperature of how we even talk about these certain cultural days that we have mm-hmm. in America. So,
yep. Yeah. And I'll add another one, right? Like that, one of the ways that I see a need for the Reformation within the church today is that we have an issue specifically in the United States of conflating conservatism with Christianity.
Mm.
And we're adding to the gospel. We're adding what it means to be a Christian, right? And here's the thing. Here's what we got to understand. All Christianity is going to be conservative.
Yeah.
Right?
It's going to be looking
it's
bad.
It's going to be conservative in the culture that we live in. Of course it's going to yeah. be. But not all conservatism is Christianity.
Yeah.
And we have an issue, a great issue right now, where those things are being conflated. That because of where I fall politically, because of where I fall, socially, this is what a Christian looks like. This is what a Christian believes in. This is how a Christian responds. And if you're not looking like this, if you're not believing this, if you're not responding like this, then your faithfulness is called into question. You're automatically called a liberal. You're already called all manners of insults under the sun, and you are treated as an unbeliever. When 10, 15 years ago, someone would have said the exact same thing and nothing would have been wrong.
Yeah.
Because it's not a manner of the thing being said itself. It's the culture that is receiving it.
Yeah.
And we got to be real careful. Like, look, I'm a real conservative guy. Like, politically, like, I more conservative than people.
Conservative.
Like, let's just be real. Like, the political views that I have, I don't even want to share all of them online because I'd have people being like, "You what? What are you talking about?" Right? I'm extremely conservative, but I don't conflate that with the gospel.
Yeah,
and I don't believe that someone has to agree with me politically in order to be a faithful Christian. Now, obviously, there's a standard. But the standard is not political.
Yeah.
The standard is not social or culture. The standard is the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And the Word of God gives freedom of conscience, where freedom of conscience is allowed to reign. And if something is against Scripture, then obviously, yes, we call that out. But yeah. We have so many people right now that are conflating those two things. And because it's not conservative, therefore, it's not Christian. And we have to be very careful to not be interpreting the infallible word of the Almighty God through the cultural lens and the landscape that we live in. Yeah. Because then you're just as good as the popes and the priests of the Reformation. You are utilizing the word of God to advance what you want and to make yourself feel better.
Yeah, and then on top of it as well, too, I mean, you know, that's the thing that was so egregious during the Reformation.
Yes.
Is that if we take the extremes to what we're doing, mm-hmm. we will not, to have a state-sanctioned church where you're trying to incentivize people to go to church on a Sunday, on the Lord's Day, you're asking for what that priest said. You're asking for Satanists and people who don't care about Jesus to go to church in order to get a tax rebate.
Yeah.
In order for you to put some sort of front up, as this is going to get spicy, but as Tom Hicks said, the way in which some Christian nationalists talk is satanic.
Yeah.
They do not want a church that is a true church. They want a church that gets thrown on plastic lunchboxes and on billboards and everywhere around and saying, it's the Lord's Day. Guys, that shouldn't be sexy. That should be countercultural to say that.
Yeah, it always is.
That should be a day in which people should look and say, what are they doing on the Lord's Day, actually?
Yeah.
What's going on there? It shouldn't be a day where you get incentivized by tax rebates or anything like that to go in there and then fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Cause that's not what a believer is about. That's not what a Christian is about. That's not what Jesus is about. If you look in the Gospels.
Yeah.
So it is to say stuff like that, to perpetuate this idea. I mean, not only will it lead you to the popes of the past of the Reformation and the priests, it'll start leading you down the path of what Protestant reformers had, which is being murdered and crucified and burned at the stake because they dared went up against somebody and said, no, Scripture said this, and it wasn't a pope who made some sort of decree or proclamation or had any kind of reign or power or any kind of Christian prince that reigns over this in order to interpret it his own way.
Yeah. And look, like, replace the, like, it's easy to talk about the Christian nationalism argument right now because that's kind of what's at the forefront of a lot of people's minds. Yeah. Replace Christian nationalism with the prosperity gospel. You are conflating the truths of Scripture to get them to say something that they don't say.
Or even,
it needs a reformation.
Yeah, or even mainline Protestant denominations.
Sure.
Look at the Methodist Church. Look at the Episcopalians. Look at some of the Lutheran denominations.
Yeah.
They will say the most... I heard this... This is probably going back to don't forget to eat your Instagrams, but to hear a Lutheran pastor who's a woman... Mm-hmm. I'm air quoting as I say this.
Sure.
Say something like, you know, Jesus says to take up your cross and follow after me. And I don't think I like to preach that. I don't think I like those words, Jesus, because
the cross was used as a
tool of suppression and a tool of fall in line.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? Jesus is telling you to die to yourself and die to the things of the world.
Yeah.
To be sacrificial as I am sacrificial. And that's a way better message than what you're trying to read between the tea leaves on that and make up your own interpretation on that. So
I mean, look in any mainline denomination, mainstream denomination in Protestantism right now. It needs a reformation. We have blind spots all over the place. Like us Reformed folk have blind spots. Mm-hmm. Like we need a reformation in our own camps as well, right? Like I think there's if you look at the state of Christianity in America, we see the need for a renewal of the gospel. Bring back the essential truths, unearth those jewels and those gems yet again, and preach Christ. Don't preach politics. Don't preach values. Don't preach morality. Preach Jesus. That's what we need to do. And we need to teach our fathers and our mothers to teach their children what it means to be a Christian. How do we view the cultural landscape we're in through the lens of Scripture and not the other way around? Right?
Yeah, I think we also need to teach our pastors and our offices of the church that the church is not your platform to make money off of.
No. Or to have influence.
Yep.
Right? Gain followers.
Yep.
Yep.
That's, I think, the biggest reformation that needs to happen the most is because all I see now, I mean, we're coming up on November 1st, and I just got word that however you feel about this, right? But SNAP benefits are ending for a lot of people.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And I saw a post from somebody who I know on Instagram post this thing saying, you know, if your church isn't giving out massive donations to the poor because SNAP benefits are going away, then you serve money and not this. And it's like, that's just as bad.
That's called a pendulum swing, my friend.
That's just as bad as saying if you don't mention Charlie Kirk's death in your service, then you're not really
Church.
You know, you're kind of swinging at the same horseshoe at that point, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But if you care about, now my church meets in a middle school.
Yeah.
And I texted my leaders today and I said, hey, I know this is coming up. Are we thinking about this? And they're like, yeah, we are. We're thinking about the families that go to this middle school that probably are living off of SNAP and how to serve them and how to love them the best.
Yeah. And that's great.
And so you have like, that's going to show people, okay, wow, this church is giving us food. They don't care about money. No, we don't care about money. We care about something that's more important than money. Like, Where are you at eternally?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, where's your head at?
Where is your soul at in all of this?
Yep.
Who do you think, you know, who is God to you? Who made you? Like going back to the original, like Heidelberg, who made you?
Yeah.
What else did God make? Mm-hmm. Why did God make you this way in order to do what? Right. How do you love God? Like those are essential questions that I'm sure everybody is probably asking themselves, but they're too afraid to go to a church because they think they'll get ridiculed at a church for asking those things. Sure. And that's where a reformation needs to happen in your church culture. If you are in a church that has gospel doctrine and that gospel doctrine does not lead into a gospel culture, friends, a reformation needs to happen in your church.
Yeah.
And that needs to start hopefully primarily with you. In advocating that, hey, why are we talking about Jesus, going through these essential truths, and we just seem cold.
Yeah.
We're not doing anything.
Yep.
We're not doing anything for people in our local church. We're not doing anything for people who are in proximity of our church. Like, I feel like our hearts are cold. What's going on here? It's like, yeah, there needs to be reformation that happens there.
Yeah. I mean, and that's how the Lord works, right? If you want a reformation in the culture, like if you want to see the world changed for the cause of Christ, you need a reformation in the church. And if you want a reformation in the church, you need a reformation in your heart, right? The Lord did a work in Martin Luther's heart first.
Yeah.
And then that is what the Lord used to then spur on change. If you want change in your church, if you want change in your culture, right, then we need a reformation of our heart. We need to go back to what it is that first sparked our love and our desire to be saved. What was it that caused you to see Christ and his gospel as beautiful and precious?
Yeah.
What is it that did that? Right? It's Christ. Go back to the gospel. Renew in your mind and in your heart the childlike truths of who Jesus is and what he has done. Because I think often in this world that we live in, we become distracted and so much gets piled up on that, right? Like, yeah, there's so much dust and things and stuff that gets piled on to the gospel that we don't think about it often, right? And sometimes the things that can get piled on are even good things, right? We can immerse ourselves in theological study and be cold, right? Like, if that desire to know deeper who God is and what he has done, if that's not coming from a love of the gospel, it's not coming from a correct place. So we need that reformation in our hearts. We need to keep the gospel at the forefront, because then that's what makes our churches welcoming and warm, right? And a force to be reckoned with in the world that we live in, not for political gain, but for gospel-centered kingdom advancement.
Yeah.
Being in this world, but not of this world. Right?
Yeah.
That's what we need. So as we think about the Reformation, and we thank the Lord for the faithful men and women that he used to spark those fires back in the 16th century, think about how we can be doing the same. How can we be making the gospel central in our hearts, central in our lives, central in our families, central in our churches, so that our churches are then beacons of hope and light for God's people and for the world around them?
Yeah.
That's where change happens. Mm-hmm. And we shouldn't be looking for it anywhere else.
So that's all she wrote, Josh.
That's Reformation Month, baby. We did it. Boom. That was, I enjoyed that series, Jack. That was good. I enjoyed seeing just kind of how the series developed and being very encouraged just by these episodes. And I hope our listeners are as well. So, Jack, for the last time for Reformation Month, why don't you get us out of here, my friend?
Yeah. Folks, if you have appreciated Josh and I's work that we put into this series and having it for you guys to think about the Reformation and these different aspects of life, and you want to continue this conversation further, or you have a new series idea for us into November, right before Advent, you want us to talk about, you can follow us on those dastardly little things called the Sociables. Yes, you can write us a DM. Episode ideas, you can ask us questions, comments, concerns, anything like that on Facebook, the Metaverse, if you will. The Instagram, it goes well with chocolate and marshmallow and heresy. And the always interesting Sociable, formerly known as Twitter X, if you will.
Right.
Tag at Reformatory Pod on all those sites at Reformatory Pod. You can drop us a line there. Josh, you can tell the local people how they might support us for doing it.
That's right. Well, head on over to YouTube if you want to watch this as well as listen to it. Subscribe to the Reformatory. We really appreciate that. You can rate this podcast. We've actually asked, we've had a lot of new people hit up the podcast recently. And if you are a newer listener and you listen on Spotify or Apple, we would ask you to scroll down and give the Reformatory 5 stars. And if you feel like it, maybe write us a little review. Like, tell us kind of what you appreciate about the podcast, maybe how you found the podcast. I always love hearing those stories. But yeah, if you've been listening for a short time or for a while and you've never given us a review, we really appreciate that. It helps get the podcast out to more people and gets us into those algorithms that people, you know, they recommend other like-minded podcasts. We really appreciate that. That would be awesome. 5 stars for 5 solas, as we used to say on the podcast. Last but not least, we do have a Patreon, and for $5 a month, you get this episode early, you get bonus episodes, a lot of cool stuff happening over on the Patreon, the most exclusive Patreon in the Reformed zeitgeist, and it's exclusive, baby, it really is. So we would really appreciate if you want to support what we're doing here on the Reformatory, head on over to the Patreon, and for $5 a month, you too could become a supporter, and our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. We thank you for listening to this series. Happy Reformation Month, everyone. We hope that it's fantastic, and we will we'll catch you next year for another Reformation series. Well, who knows what we'll do? Who knows? We'll see. We'll see what happens. But we thank you all for listening. We'll catch you on the next episode of the Reformatory.